due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. Ameen. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. Ameen. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, imagine Arafah, the Mount of Arafah, 10 years after the Hijrah. The man was standing with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was thrown from his camel. The camel stopped, and the man's neck was snapped, and he died due to his injury. Bathe his body with water and sugar, and bury him with both garments, meaning his two towels from the ihram, said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not cover his head, nor touch him with kampur, the oils that are rubbed on the body. For verily, he will be returned to Allah azza wa jal on the day of resurrection in the state of talbiyah. Labayk Allahumma labayk. From Bukhari and Muslim. Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu narrates, when Islam entered my heart, I went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, give me your hand so that I may pledge allegiance to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread out his hand toward him, but then I withdrew mine. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is wrong, Amr? And I said, I want to make a condition. And what is that? Said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I said, that Allah will forgive me. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did you not know that Islam wipes out what came before it, and that Hijrah wipes out what came before it, and that Hajj wipes out what comes before it? And this is from Sahih Muslim. The ultimate reward, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and there is no reward for an accepted Hajj except for Jannah, except for paradise. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, what is the first verse that you read in Surah Al-Hajj? Allah Azza wa Jal says in translation, O mankind, fear your Lord. Indeed, the eruption of the final hour is an horrific event. On that day, you shall see it. Every nursing mother will be engrossed away from her child she was nursing. And every pregnant woman will abort her pregnancy. And you will see the people appearing intoxicated, while they are not intoxicated. Rather, it is the punishment of Allah severe. SubhanAllah. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Hajj is not a journey of the body such as one may take to a vacation spot or to a tourist attraction. It is a journey of the soul and the heart. When one pays a careful eye to the verses speaking of Hajj, they will find that verse after verse concludes with a commandment of being conscious of Allah's presence, or a reminder of Allah's bounteous favor upon us, or a link between the Hajj and the final day. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in the not so far away days of old, Whenever a journey was to be undertaken, proper provisions had to be prepared. The deserts were long, hot, and harsh, unmerciful to the traveler. There was no gas station to fill up on potato chips and these other luxury things, refreshments, or to stop at the rest stations to slurp from the water fountains. In fact, there was not a human in sight for miles upon miles of barren sand dunes. Losing your way, getting lost, doesn't only mean that you have lost your direction. In this particular case, it probably meant that you would lose your life. Thus, you had to have a provision with you before you made the journey. Enough food, enough water, enough everything to carry you to your destination. From here, in the verses dealing of Hajj, when everyone shall have to make some sort of journey to reach the Kaaba, Allah Azza wa Jal tuned the intention of his slaves to another journey, a journey every soul is traveling, whether they know it or care to just remain heedless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their attention to the journey to the hereafter, to the Jannah, paradise, or Jahannam, nar, the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Noble Quran in translation, and take sustenance with you for the journey. Verily the best sustenance is taqwa, piety and righteousness. And you can find this ayat in Surah Baqarah, ayah 197. On the day Abu Hayyan al-Zahri set out with his companions for Hajj, he looked through the endless desert awaiting them both and wept. His chest and his beard were soaked from his tears. This is something, said Abu Hayyan, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayh, that has made me understand the most certain journey I must make one day to Allah Azza wa Jal. Hajj is indeed the journey of the hearts. There is a debate over whether someone who performs the Hajj should be called a Haji. Indeed, it is not something that we can find from the Sunnah. Rather, it has an interesting background in our cultural history, but not in the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors. In the days of old, when someone decided to perform the journey for Hajj, it was synonymous with bidding farewell to life here on this earth. This was due to the treacherous obstacles of traveling in the desert. Trials such as sickness, starvation, and the struggles of the separate situations. Indeed, an entire village might gather to bid those people who were making this blessed pilgrimage farewell, because many of them felt that they would not be able to return back to their homes due to the hardships of this journey. When someone would go through such a remarkable journey and return alive, they indeed would dedicate their lives to the worship and the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Gone from this person's character was the cheating, or the lying, or the times that they would miss their salah due to laziness and neglect. He was now a haji. Today, with the jumbo jets and the ocean liners and the great big air-conditioned Mercedes buses, the facilitation of performing Hajj has taken away the luster of the title Haji. Indeed, you will find some of the people who are on this pilgrimage who will complain that there are no queen-size mattresses for them to lie on when they're in Minna, or that the air-conditioned motor makes too much noise, it disturbs them. But my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, who is it that provided us with all the blessings that we are living in? It is the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has tested us here on the plains of Arafat. The slave of Allah can only truly understand the favor of Allah upon him when it is taken away from him. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in the translation, there is no blame upon you for seeking bounty from your Lord during Hajj. But when you depart from Arafat, remember Allah at the Haram, and remember Him as He has guided you, for indeed you were before that amongst those astray. Indeed, we used to have a saying when I was a Christian, as I reflect back on the verse, on the part of the talk that says, the slave of Allah can only truly understand the favor of Allah upon him when he is taken away. We used to have this saying in the church where it says that Adam and Eve did not really understand the fact that they were in paradise until they were cast out of it. SubhanAllah. Indeed, the greatest blessing that Allah has favored us with is this blessed deen of Islam. And it alone suffices as favor enough for us. Allah Azza wa Jal knows we are going to get dusty during the Hajj, walking through the desert. Allah knows it. So don't be surprised when the dust blows. Instead, return to Allah and take care of it with patience and a whisper of gratitude toward Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in translation, then let them end their untidiness, fulfill their vows, and perform tawaf around the ancient house. And this is from Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 29. One of the most beloved shaykhs of myself, and of course of our beloved sister Layla, Shaykh Ibn Al-Qayyum, wrote about this journey of the hearts. And here's a glimpse of some of the translations of the verses that he wrote, where he says, my slaves have come to me for Hajj out of love for me, and I am merciful to them, bounteous and loving. Glad tidings, O participants of that stand on Arafat, a moment when Allah forgives all sins and showers His mercy. SubhanAllah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates where he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever performs Hajj and does not commit any obscenity or transgression, he returns free from sin as the day his mother bore him. And this is found in Al-Bukhari. So we have to get our hearts in shape for this journey of Hajj. Many years ago, as the Hujjaj swept through the valley of Muzdalifah, a man amongst them remarked out loud, he said, oh my, look at the number of Hujjaj. And a wise man from amongst them, he said to the man, nay, the passengers are many, but the true Hujjaj are few. I heard once the story of a man who was blessed with the opportunity to join the caravan for Hajj on a regular basis. However, his shortcoming was that he could never control his anger. During the days of Hajj, and you would find him, when he became angry, he would curse at the people who were trying to make the Hajj. But one of his companions had an idea for him. He said, instead of cursing Muslims during the Hajj, write all your bad comments on a piece of paper and fold this piece of paper. And then when you get mad at someone, just hand him the piece of paper. And on the top of the tiny envelope that you have this paper in, write for this person, do not open until after the Hajj. So the man agreed with this arrangement. Incident after incident after incident assailed him, and the man would simply smile, then frown, and hand out the tiny envelopes to the provoking party. Everything was going smoothly for this man until the day when he was walking to the Jamarah, and someone in the group stomped on his toes. This man at this point lost all the control. His teeth gritting, He snarled and took out his briefcase of envelopes and dumped the entire briefcase of envelopes on the poor man's head, who was stepped on his toes. In the Heights, I have seen people who snatch for patience and the reward of Allah during those trying moments, like a man who was panning for gold. I ask myself, what is the difference from them and those who spend their breath in criticism and argumentation? I had to think back about myself when I made my Hajj. As you find, there's a thing we call Hajj flu, where many of the people who are attempting to make the Hajj get sick. On the night of Muzdalifah, I was put into the hospital, and I had severe bronchitis. And I stayed in the hospital for a few hours, and I came back, and my group, we had become separated, so we couldn't make it back to our tent, so we had to sleep on the street. And the one thing that the doctor had said to me, he said, this medication that I'm going to give you is going to make you very irritable. But subhanAllah, imagine you're trying to make the tawaf around the Kaaba and people are hitting you and almost knocking you down. Indeed, I myself am a big man. But at one point when I was reaching out to touch the black stone, next thing I realized my feet were off the ground and I was taken halfway across the ground of the Kaaba because of the massive rush of people. And the thing that was most shocking to me, especially since I'm a big man, was the fact that I was being carried away by a sea of little bitty tiny women from Indonesia. SubhanAllah. And then after I got out of that, I kept getting hit in the head by these giant women from Turkey. And I was thinking to myself, SubhanAllah, I played football from the age of 4 until the time I left college, and I took some hits at the Kaaba that are much, much harder than those hits that I took on the football field. That's right, Brother Abdul Rahim, you have an even Indonesian wife, so you know firsthand these sisters are no joke. But at any rate, after going through these hardships of trying to make the tawaf and then to make the sa'i from Safa to Marwa and being beaten constantly, you get irritable. And I was fasting, so that was another irritation added. And then this man gave me this medication and he told me this medication is going to make you irritable. So I want to share with you what happened later on that day. As I'm sitting at the Kaaba, I got separated from my group and we had decided that we were going to meet by one of the large clocks outside of the entrance to the Kaaba. So as I'm sitting there, you have these street sweepers who are in these large trucks in the street and they're trying to clean the outside of the Kaaba, not the Kaaba itself, but the grounds of the Haram. And it's coming toward me. And I had to step back toward the clock in order to not be hit by this truck. And I noticed that behind me, there's a sister. That right behind me, there's a sister. And this sister looks at me, and she smiles, and I smile back, and I turn around to look back toward the truck. Please hold on just a second, please. I'm sorry. So, at any rate, then the man who was sitting beside her, who I assume was her husband, he looks at her, and he begins to frown. So then the sister looks at him as though she's frightened at me. So the man stands up and he pushes me toward the truck that's coming toward me. And I look at this man and I understand he doesn't know the language that I'm speaking and I don't know the language that he's speaking, but I try to reassure him that I'm not going to touch his wife. And I come back toward her in order to not be hit by the truck, and he stands up and he pushes me a second time. And I feel my temper starting to flare. And I said with him with a little more firmness, brother, I'm not going to hit your wife. And then he pushed me a third time. And then all of a sudden, all my Islam had left my body. And I drew back to punch this man right in front of the Kaaba. And one of my companions who came with me from America, subhanAllah, this brother saw me out of the corner of his eye. And he's a small man. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this man there to save my life because this man picked me up off of the ground. And he carried me around to the other side of the clock. And I was shocked. And I said, SubhanAllah. But this is to let you know that these things can indeed take you out of your character, so that you have to be patient and you have to prepare yourself for people who don't understand that to harm your brother or to harm an insect during the Hajj can be a grave sin. And this man, out of his zeal to exploit his manhood or whatever, decided that he wanted to do damage to me. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent my companion with me to protect me from my own self and to not destroy this journey that I was taking, alhamdulillah. Some people came to Hajj prepared financially. Others come with a prepared heart. That is what's essential. Whether the grindstone grinds us to dust or polishes us up depends on what we are made of. So how do we get our hearts in shape for Hajj? Firstly, we need to attend the lectures and workshops that are available in our areas dealing with the Hajj. Hajj is one of the pillars that Islam is built upon. When someone intends to perform this rite, it's a must upon them that they learn it well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. And Imam Bukhari writes in his Sahih, knowledge comes before statements of action. He then quoted the verse of Allah where Allah says in Surah Muhammad, so know that there is no deity except Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sins. Secondly, we must establish the salah and perform Qiyamul Layl. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing his heart for the mission of conveying this deen, Allah azza wa jalla ordered him to prepare by performing Qiyamul Layl. Allah azza wa jalla says, O you who wraps himself, arise to pray the night, except for a little. And you can find this in Surah Muzammil, Ayahs 1 and 2. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, there's a story of one of the students of Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal who was sleeping over at the Sheikh's house. Rahimahullah, rahmatullah, amen. And Imam Ahmed had left a vessel of water for his companion, for his student. And upon arriving for Fajr, he found that the vessel was still full of water. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayh, was shocked, and he was upset at his student. And he said to the student, how can a person be a talib al-ilm, be a student of knowledge, and not stand up for the night prayer? SubhanAllah. Someone said to Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, we are unable to wake up to perform Qiyamul Layl. So Ibn Mas'ud, he said to them, you are distancing yourselves from it by your sins. Because of their sinful nature, they are moving further and further and further away from the ability to awake themselves to make this prayer. SubhanAllah. Thirdly, remembrance of Allah and dua. It was during the days of Tashriq when Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam with the words of Allah azza wa jal in translation, where he says, when the victory of Allah has come and the conquest, and you see the people entering into the religion of Allah in multitudes, then exalt him with praise of your Lord and ask forgiveness of him. Indeed, he is ever accepting of repentance. And this is Surah An-Nas. This, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, was the culmination of 23 years of a long, hard struggle of da'wah, of jihad, and work for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here now was the farewell pilgrimage. What did it end with? Then exalt him with praise of your Lord, tasbih, and ask forgiveness of him. I said what I said, and I asked the wise with God to forgive me and forgive you. All that I said that was correct is from Allah and Allah alone. The mistakes are from myself and from the Shayateen. If I said or did anything that was offensive to you, please forgive me and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his mercy upon me. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdih. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.